Good evening, everyone, to all our saints that listen to our daily bread. This is our daily bread service for Monday, April the 24th. You're listening to First His Kingdom Family Church, where the Word of God will change my life. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. I trust you're blessed this evening. We have two very special announcements for you. First of all, this Wednesday, April the 26th, is our monthly healing service. The last Wednesday of every month, we have a healing service. Of course, every service, every daily bread, every Sunday service, we have invitations for salvation, for healing. But the last Wednesday of every month is our healing service. So this last Wednesday, April the 26th, Pastor Rose and I will be doing our healing service. So that's our first announcement, this Wednesday healing service. The other one is a special announcement. We're very excited about our going back to in-person services. First is Kingdom Family Church is going back to in-person services. And instead of sending out invitations like we did for our anniversary in December, we're just letting you know on the Word of Faith. And if you know a Christian that used to come to our church or comes to our church, and just let them know that we're going back to in-person services on May the 7th, Sunday, May the 7th, at the same place, the Baca Center, Round Rock Community Center, the Baca Center in Round Rock, Sunday, May the 7th. And our services are going to start at 2 p.m. And that Sunday, we'll see what happens. That's the only time that was available for us. And we've just been looking for over a year. We have a full-time realtor, and we just haven't sensed that the Lord has directed us to the right place. So we're going back to the Baca Center. Sunday, May the 7th. Sunday, May the 7th at the Baca Center at 2 p.m. And we'll keep announcing it for the rest of the month and coming in May until we get there. But we're going back to in-person services at the Baca Center in Round Rock, Sunday, May the 7th at 2 p.m. Amen. Words. Words are so important. Pastor Rose talked about that last Thursday, how important words are. And we've just been getting so much confirmation. But words are important. They're important to God, and they should be important to us. In the Old Testament, I mean, there was nothing darkness, and God spoke, let there be light. So words are important to God in the Old Testament. Words are important to Jesus. In the book of Mark 11:24, Jesus said, "When you pray, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, you shall have what you say." It doesn't say when you think about it or when you silently thoughts, ideas, or suggestions. It says when you pray. So words were important to God. Words are important to Jesus. And guess what? Words should be very important to us. Amen. We're told to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So words are important. I'm going to give you a couple of examples of how words are so powerful. In the Old Testament, I mean, they didn't have written contracts. Their word was a contract. If they said something, that's it. They couldn't take it back. You know, Herod with Solomon, Salome, you know, he promised her whatever she wanted, and he couldn't take that back when she said she wanted John the Baptist's head. He could not take it back. Once your words were spoken, that's it. You know, you couldn't take it back. So let me give you a couple of examples of how important words are in my life. When I was little, you know, sometimes in the summer, my parents would let me stay with my grandparents. They lived in a different city. We lived in Alice, Texas, and my grandparents lived in Three Rivers, Texas. I don't know, maybe 40 minutes, maybe 45 minutes away. But I would go spend time in the summer with my grandparents. So I was maybe four years old. I wasn't in school yet. And my grandpa took me to my first haircut in the neighborhood. There was a barber shop in the neighborhood where my grandparents lived. And my grandpa took me to go get my first haircut. And there was nobody in the barber shop but the barber, my grandpa, and me. And when I sat down, you know, he put that little sheet cover over you, you know, when you get a haircut. And he started combing my hair before he cut it. And my grandfather, My grandfather, he was such a sweetheart. He was bald, you know, he had little hair on the sides, but he was bald. And the barber tells my grandpa, he goes, "Oh man, your grandson's gonna be bald just like you. He's got real thin hair." And my grandfather, I mean, as soon as the barber finished his sentence, my grandfather said, "No, he's not a Flores, he's a Cepeda. And he's gonna have hair all his life. He's not gonna be like me." And of course, I was just a child. I was just a kid, but I listened to that and I go, "Lord, he spoke. My grandfather spoke life into my hair." Here I am going on 75 and I still have a hunk of hair, man. I still have my own hair. God is so good. Words are important. The second example is my grandma. When I'd go spend time with him, my grandfather and my grandmother, I'd go spend time with her. And in the evening after dinner, I'd help her wash dishes. You know, I'd stand next to the sink and she'd clean them and give them to me and I'd dry them and put them away. So after we were done one evening, she put some water in a clear glass and put it down in front of me. And, you know, she didn't realize what she was doing. And she took out her false teeth and put them in the glass. And I freaked out, man. I had never seen that. My grandmother took her teeth out and put them in a glass. And I guess she saw the scared look in my face, so I can explain it. And she said, she grabbed a hold of me and she goes, "Son," she goes, "you'll never have false teeth. You will never have false teeth." And here it is, 75 years old, I got my own teeth, a couple of molars that have been extracted, but I've got all my own teeth. So words are important. We weren't even Christians. I mean, we didn't even realize the power of our words. The last example I'll give you is my brother. I went to go visit him from California, and he was in the hospital, and I went to go visit him. And I had a cheap watch, maybe $30 Timex. And my brother says, "I really like that watch." I go, "You do, brother?" He goes, "Yes." I took it off, and I gave it to him. And it was with a strap instead of the flexible band. It had a leather strap, and it didn't fit him. So he goes, "Here, it didn't fit me." I said, "All right." So I put it back. And my brother tells me, "Roy, you were born under a lucky star." He goes, "You were born under a lucky star." He goes, "Everybody loves you. Everybody loves you." And I go, "What are you talking about? Everybody loves me." He goes, "You were born under a lucky star." He goes, "And I thank God that you never, never have to go through anything bad." Well, he spoke. He spoke that I was lucky. Of course, now we know that it's not luck, it's blessed. So our words have power behind them. Our words have power. Amen? Their word was a contract in the Old Testament. Now everybody breaks contracts and people's words doesn't mean anything. I promise, I promise. People break promises all the time. But words are so important. And a lot of us as Christians, we suffer needlessly. We're hung by the tongue. So tonight I want to talk about how to control our tongue. Our daily bread scripture for April is Nahum 1:7. Nahum 1:7, "The Lord is good. He is a strong tower, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust him." And of course, we use Proverbs 3:5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Again, and our Bible question this week was, when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, the city asked, "Who is this? Who is this?" And Hosanna to the, they said, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." This is Jesus. This is Jesus. They said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." So our question this week was, who did Jesus represent coming into Jerusalem on a donkey? Who did Jesus represent? Amen. And these questions that the Lord gives me, these Bible questions, they're not just information. They affect our life. The answer affects our life. You know, I'm not going to go back to some of them, but if you have a heart to receive, you're not going to miss it. You're going to get it. "I get it, Lord." That's why you had Pastor Jesse ask me. In Matthew chapter 21, Matthew chapter 21, our question is, who did Jesus represent coming into Jerusalem on a donkey? Matthew 21:10, Jesus came into Jerusalem, and the city asked, who is this? And they said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. The people were half right. He was a prophet, but who was Jesus coming into Jerusalem? Matthew 21, verse 5 gives us the answer. Matthew 21, verse 5, behold the king who sits on a donkey. The answer is Jesus represented God's king on earth, and he was fulfilling prophecy. Zechariah 9:9, let me read it out of the Amplified so we'll get the full force of this. Matthew 21:5 is a fulfillment of prophecy from Zechariah 9:9. Zechariah 9:9, the Amplified says, rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout out loud, daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is righteous. He is righteous and he is empowered with salvation, riding on a donkey. Isn't that something? I mean, that's just how God is. He takes the simple things to confound the wise. The gospel's simple. Jesus was king, Jesus is king, and tonight, is Jesus the king of your life? Is Jesus the king of your life? Let me take a side journey here. Jesus told the disciples to go look for a colt and a donkey. And I said, Lord, why do you want two, a colt and a donkey? Well, I looked into it, and Jesus, a colt is like the mother, and the donkey's like the child. So Jesus was saying, look for a mother that has had a donkey, and the donkey was a virgin donkey. It had never been ridden. No one had ever ridden this little donkey. So, the side journey, Jesus enters into Jerusalem with this baby donkey that had never been ridden. And here's the side journey. Jesus named the donkey. Jesus named the donkey. I mean, it amazes me. In the Old Testament, God changed people's names. Do you remember? From Abraham to Abraham, from Sarai to Sarah. You know, he changed people's names. And in the New Testament, Jesus changed people's names. You know, from Simon, he called him Peter, and he changed people's names. So here, Jesus and this donkey. Listen, the donkey, the mother, was Loshem. And they named the colt Katan. So when Jesus rode him into Jerusalem, at the end of it, Jesus renames the donkey from Katan to Lo-Kael, L-O-K-A-E-L. These are little interesting tidbits, but Jesus changed the donkey's name. When I was born again, everybody used to call me Roy. Roy is short for Rogelio, Roger. My middle name is Roger, Rogelio. So everybody used to call me Roy. Roy this, Roy that. When I was born again, people started calling me Jesse. My first name is Jesus. Well, then nobody's going to call me Jesus, but it's Jesus. So the Lord changed my name from Roy to Jesse, and it's been Jesse for the last 40 years. Maybe your name is still the same that you're born again. But Revelation 21:27 says, your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. If Jesus is your king tonight, you have a new name, and it's written down in heaven. It's written down in heaven. If Jesus renamed this little donkey, how much more will he rejoice that your name is written in heaven? The Apostle Paul wrote the church in Philippians, in Philippi, and in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I mean, once you find out that your life is nothing without Jesus, nothing without Jesus, it's like he is everything and we are nothing. Excuse me. He is everything and we are nothing. Amen. Romans 14:8 says, if we live, we live for the Lord. If we live for the King. Our very life is in Jesus' hands. Acts 17:28. I trust you're being blessed. Jesus loves this donkey that he changed his name. How much more does he love you tonight? Amen. How much more does he love you tonight? Amen. Acts 17:28. In him, in Jesus, we live, we move, and we have our being. Apart from Jesus, we are nothing. We couldn't find our way out of a paper bag. But you are alive tonight only because Jesus has preserved you for such a time as this. Amen. Jesus has preserved you for such a time as this. Pastor Rose shared last week on Thursday the 20th, how important words are. Do you believe that your words are important? There's power in your words. Godly words that edify and build up. Amen. The way we can build up, we can tear down. And it's important for our hearing. You know, the Lord says to rebuke each other daily, not to rebuke an elder or a pastor because they're spiritually more mature than us. But it says for us to rebuke each other daily. So if your words are to build up, sometimes they might come out as a rebuke or a demeaning or downgrading. And that's what happens when you're babies. Somebody tells you you've got egg on your face and you get upset. Well, look and see. If you've got egg in your face, wipe it. Don't sit there and get upset, get offended. I mean, they called Jesus, the Son of God, they called him a demon. Demons cast out demons, remember? What did Jesus say? Oh my God, my feelings are hurt. No, he did not get offended. People are going to call you things, and people are going to say things, and if you get them the wrong way and you get offended, you're just a child. Change your diapers, man. Get rid of that pacifier and grow up. Grow up, especially if you're doing something that's not right and somebody exhorts you. Learn from it. Don't sit there and go away from Jesus. Go to him. You know, we need to be exhorted daily. You know, we all miss it. We all miss it. And that's why we as pastors, as ministers, we have somebody covering us. Who tells you when you're doing something wrong? Believe me, if we're doing something wrong as a church and as ministers, we've got leadership that's over us. And they'll come and correct us and get after us. Amen? So our message this evening is controlling our tongue. You know, how many of us act like perfect Christians? Do we have opportunities to stumble? James chapter 3 verse 2 says we stumble in many ways. We miss it, but thank God we can repent. We can repent, and instead of getting hurt and offended and I'm not going to do that anymore, blah, 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 blah. Grow up. Grow up and change your diaper, man. It stinks. That's what happens. Christians stay at a retarded stage and they don't grow up. And they want everybody to treat them like a baby. You've been in the Lord so many years, you already should be teaching others. And here we're still changing your diaper. If we want to reach God's goal, for us to be perfect Christians, the one thing we must do is control our tongue. Proverbs 10:19, who controls their tongue is wise. We need to learn how to control our tongue, when to say things and when not to. Amen. There's a time and a season. And what happens is sometimes we get away with stuff and nobody says nothing and we think, oh, it must be okay. No, it's not. Forsake not the assemblings of yourself. I can't tell you how many people that used to come to our church, we ask them, do you listen to the daily bread? Well, it's on 7 days a week. 7 days a week, we've got four different ministers ministering the word for your purpose, for each one of you. Yes, some of you get it. Yes, some of you appreciate it. We get texts, we get calls, we get emails, We get letters from some of you that say, man, it's been a blessing to me. But others sit there and just eat and eat fat little sheep that don't do nothing about it. Proverbs 10:19, who controls their tongue is wise. So we need to learn how to control our tongue. Our words of faith are valuable to God. It will show up in our conversations, compassion, and more importantly, in our conduct. One way for our faith to be valuable to God is in the ability to keep our tongue in check. I mean, there's some people that aren't at the same faith level, and you'll hear them say, oh, my sickness, oh, my high blood pressure, oh, my this, oh, my... It's not yours. It doesn't belong in your body. It's from the curse, so don't call it yours. But when we try to correct people, they get all hurt and offended. I know what faith is. Then why don't you act and walk in it? One way for our faith to be valuable to God is in the ability to check our tongue. Why is it important? It's important to control our tongues because our mouth impacts every part of our life. How can that be, Pastor? How can that be? The tongue is a powerful, perverse, and polluted. So that makes the tongue a big problem. James 3:6 says, in the tongue is a world of iniquity. Many of the things that go wrong in the believer's life is happening because of the damage they do with their tongues. Galatians 6:7 says, what you sow, you're going to reap. So words are creative, and that's both good or bad. Amen? Good or bad. God will hold our lives up to the standard that we set for others. We've got to learn how to control our tongue. God has given us examples in His Word, and it's for His good pleasure, number one, and two, for us to learn a valuable lesson. God holds us account for our words, amen, and what we have to say. There are consequences. Consequences for what we speak, amen. Consequences if we don't control our tongue, amen. Jesus said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. What does it take to be a perfect Christian? What does it take to be a perfect Christian? James 3:2. James 3:2 says, the Christian who controls his tongue is perfect, completely mature, controls the whole body. So this evening, do you want to be a perfect Christian? Get control of your tongue, because your tongue has the power to control your whole life. I mean, how many times do you see people sad, depressed, and oh my God, this and that, and I pray and nothing happens? Listen to your words. Are you quoting the Word of God, or are you sitting there going by your emotions? James 3:2, we stumble in many ways. If we get our mouths right, we'll be able to get all the other stuff right. I trust this is blessing you. Amen. Listen, sometimes Pastor Rose tells me, you're too hard, you're too hard. Read Mark 16:15, the Great Commission, and not just the first part. Read what happens. Jesus said, go into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And those that don't receive, you look it up and tell, this is Jesus. It's in red. You think that's hard? That's a gospel. There's two sides. Jesus said, wide is a path that leads to destruction, and narrow is a gate that leads to life. I mean, that's a gospel. That's a truth. Not everybody's going to go to heaven, and not everybody's going to go to hell. So if we get our mouths right, we'll be able to get all the other stuff right. We need to control our tongue. Can I get an amen? Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. How can we control our tongues? If we give our speech, if we give our words control to the Holy Spirit, we'll solve the problem to our tongue. I saw a picture one time of this guy riding like you ride a horse, but it's the tongue, and he had reins on the tongue, and he's pulling it back. That picture really meant hold your words. Think before you speak. Amen. Give your speech control to the Holy Spirit, and you'll solve the problem of being hung by the tongue. When we fix the smaller problem, the tongue, the other problems that seem larger will come under control. Amen. Proverbs 10:19, he who controls his lips is wise. Words have the power to control our attitudes and our actions. We need to control our tongue. God tells us to control our tongue, and his advice can be summed up in James 1:19. James 1:19, if you're going to write any scripture down, write this one. James 1:19, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. It takes an effort to control your tongue. Can I get an amen from the men? Can I get an amen from the women? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of the righteous is like a fountain of life. Are you speaking life this evening or are you speaking death? Amen. A lot of times the problem starts in our hearts and comes out of our mouths. People that don't control their tongues with bitter words are people that have wicked hearts. If you keep your mouth shut, you leave doubt about being a fool, Proverbs says. But if you open your mouth, all doubt is removed. There's power in our tongue, power in our words. If your tongue is out of control, you can change it by praying. Hallelujah. Amen. You can change it by praying. So our Bible question this week was, who did Jesus represent when he came into Jerusalem on a donkey? He represented the king that Zechariah 9:9 prophesied hundreds of years before. Amen. So the answer is Jesus represented a king, and he now, right now, tonight, he represents the king of our lives. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12:18, every member has a part to play in the body of Christ. You, first his kingdom, we are God-called partners. We are a mission-oriented church, little church with a big heart for missions. Our seed is known around the world. Amen. Let me say something here real quick. You know, we had a church, and we had in-person services before COVID, and we had some families in our church. I never understood why, but they never once gave a penny to missions. They were faithful in their attendance, they were faithful in their tithes, but they never gave anything to the missions, never. We'd have special guests, they wouldn't give a penny to our guests. Well, guess where they are now? They're no longer with FHK. I mean, if you eat your seed, if you don't plant a seed for your need, guess what's going to happen? You're going to dry up. You're going to dry up. And I'm not going to listen to that anymore, blah, blah, blah. If money is that important to you, guess what? Jesus is in the back of the bus. He's not driving that bus. And that's what happens. People, they eat their seed and then they wonder why they're in need. They wonder why they're under. You, first his kingdom, we are God-called partners. We are a mission, or every dollar that comes in the mail goes towards missions. We're doing the last thing Jesus told the disciples to do, the last thing he told the church to do, the last thing he told believers to do, go into all the world. So tonight, Heavenly Father, this evening, in Jesus' name, I call your faithful people greatly blessed, highly favored, prospering with unexpected blessings from Jesus and man. I decree, I declare, and I prophesy divine blessings of health, overflowing wealth, and above all things, soul prosperity. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Our elders will be with you tomorrow night. Don't forget, healing service this Wednesday, the 26th. And on the Baca Center, we're going to in-person services Sunday, May the 7th at 2 p.m. The Baca Center, Sunday, May 7th at 2 p.m., we're going to start having in-person services. Again, Sunday, May the 7th at 2 p.m., Baca Center in Round Rock, we're going to go back to in-person services. Baca Center in Round Rock, Sunday, May the 7th at 2 p.m. Be blessed. Enjoy the rest of the week.